Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and it's good for us to be here. Thank God that we're blessed to be able to broadcast another segment on Blog Talk Radio, and that is to talk about none other than the truth. We know that Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So there's nothing by better than hearing the truth. And so we know that truth was crucified, truth was buried, truth rose again on the third day, just like Jesus said. And he's talking about the Holy Ghost. When he's the Spirit of truth, truth has come. He will guide you into all truth. So thank God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What a blessing it is to be able to be here live another day. And I would like to just give a shout out to all of our Facebook listeners, all of our Blog Talk Radio friends. Thank God for you. thank you for your support. We thank God for that. So we thank God that we are able to get in what James calls the perfect law of liberty. That is none other than the word of the Lord. And what a year this has been. And we are in the spring, and we are about to embark on, this is our last session for the month of March. So we're going to be going into the month of April. So we've been in the book of 1 Corinthians. So that's been a blessing to be able to walk through that book. Before that, we went through the book of Romans. Before that, the Acts of the Apostles. And before that, we dealt with the Godhead. So nothing like the truth. And that will make you free. And thank God we don't have to be subjected or under bondage to nobody but the Lord himself. We know that God is the God of order. So whatever leader that you are under, they're not saying what God says, then they could, you don't have to be subjected to none other than what the Lord says, because he says that his commandments are not grievous. So thank God for mercy. This is the day that mercy is rejoicing against judgment. So we've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians, and we've already totally went through. We finished up the 12th chapter. We also finished up the 13th chapter, and we've been in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I think we left off on with the 13th verse. But before that, I do that, I would like to make sure that to all of our listeners that should you desire to call in, our guest call-in number is 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. And I think on last time, our food for thought, we were talking about deceivers. That's the thing that everyone has to look out for. Second John, the 7th verse, says, many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. John goes on, verse 8 in 2 John, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. He goes on to say, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. There come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine or this teaching. Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. But he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deed. So we know a lot of people, they don't believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Christos. He is the anointed flesh of God. We know that, like Jesus said in the last days about take heed that no man deceive you. He said in Matthew's gospel and Mark's gospel and also in Luke's gospel, many will come in my name saying I am Christ and shall deceive many. What they're saying is they are the anointed one. No, the church is the anointed one. The whole church, the body of Christ, is the anointed one. We know that we have various offices or various positions. You don't have to be connected to nobody but the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not saying that you don't have to be under a ministry. We're in the church, as the Bible said, that he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. There's not a comma between pastor. The pastor is the teacher in the local church. But he is not your connection to God. That's just the order of God. He tore down the middle water partition, and now we all have access by the faith of him. That's why the Bible said we are no more strangers and pilgrims, but we're fellowship citizens with the saints. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We have access, the Bible said, as the Hebrew writer said, seeing then that we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, let us hold fast our profession. And he goes on to say that let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So you can have a connection with God yourself. You're not connected through another man. That's that foolishness that they have in that church, where they pray in to Mary to pray to Jesus, which is foolishness. Mary was in the upper room where all the disciples were waiting on the day of Pentecost. She was up there with the women. Mary was the virgin mother of Jesus. She brought forth the virgin child. She'd done her job. She carried that child, like the Bible said, she could not. Joseph knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn child. So there is no more significance to Mary, and no such thing as a stupid statue, a tear. I don't care if a tear is falling. That's not a miracle. That's foolishness. But people gravitate to that kind of foolishness. There is no, if you see a shadow, I don't care who you think it looked like, that ain't got nothing to do with what the Word of God says. Just like Jesus told them, you look for a sign. He said, ain't gonna be, not gonna be a sign, but the sign of Jonas, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. So now we know that he's risen, and he's become the first fruits of them that slept. And then come at the end when he shall put down all rule and authority, for he must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. So we know the sonship was given for the purpose, and that is for the church. Then it's going to be done away with, and the son is going to be subject to the father. So God's going to be back to being all in all. God is a spirit. This is why he created the sonship, so he could shed his blood. So he is the head of the church, which is his body. This was the purpose of it. The Bible said that God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So the Spirit of God is neuter gender. He's neither male nor female. But the Bible said there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. He's the mediator between God and men. So he had to do that to bring about the new covenant. Like the Hebrew writer says, once in the world, in the end of the world, had he appeared in the presence of God to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He is the sacrificial lamb. That's why John said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So it's not no great revelation, but the Bible said that God, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. He was in that body, not imputing their trespasses. He has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So that is what is important. It is in Jesus. It is in not in a man to say that he is your connection. You got to be connected to him. No. And then there's such thing. A lot of terms that people use. Now, you've got to be in a local church. This, the Bible said, Psalm 68 and verse 6, God setteth the solitary in families. No man is an island. God setteth the solitary in families. He brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land. The dry land is likened unto desert. In the desert, there is no living water. So if you're outside of the body of Christ, there is no living water, no spiritual living water. You will die. So you've got to be in the church of the living God. And that is, you have to be born again like they were on the day of Pentecost, when Jesus said, thus it behooved Christ to suffer, in Luke 24th chapter, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Ye are witnesses to these things, as he told them. He said, behold, I send the promise of my Father, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, talking to those disciples, until ye be endued with power from on high. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was talking, he stepped on a cloud and was received out of their sight. And so we know that the writer Luke was the one who wrote the Acts of the Apostles. He picks it up. You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? And that same Jesus, which is taken up, shall come also in like manner. And that is, when he says he's going to come in like manner, that is talking about the second coming, not the rapture of the church or the appearing of the church when he shall, we shall be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. No, when we come back to fight. And the book of Jude, when it says, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. So thank God for his word. So here we have been reading, going through the book of 1 Corinthians, which was the church that Paul started himself down in Corinth. So we were going through talking about the spiritual gifts. So, and here, I believe, verse 11, he says, therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Now, this unknown tongue, what he's talking about, is not talking about the gift of the Holy Ghost. When you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you will speak in another tongue or another language as the Spirit gives utterance. So we are both body, soul, not both, but we are body, soul, and spirit. Man is a spirit, lives in a body, we have a soul. And so our spirit is what is in commune with God. And so this is a thing that the child of God has. Like the scripture says in the 8th chapter of Romans, we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. This is in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us, which with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for us, for the saints, according to the will of God. So you can pray in your spirit. You can actually pray. You have been born again. That is, you have been baptized in the name of Jesus, and you have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. You can actually pray in your spirit without opening up your mouth, because it starts down in your spirit. That's a communication that you have as a spirit-filled believer. It's like they say, they take, you can't pray here, or you can't pray in school. I'm giving him the, I'm worshiping God right now. I'm cursing devils. I'm binding devils in the name of Jesus. I'm giving God the glory right now in my spirit. I don't have to open them. I don't have to go, as they say, go get on your knees and all of that, but I can pray right now down in my spirit. And you don't, like I said, there's things that God can show you. Sometimes you have to intercede for a person. You can do that. Even if you can't, like, open your mouth and pray, you still can pray. That's not taking away saying that you should not open your mouth and pray. Pray with an understanding. Pray in the spirit. But you can still pray, because it starts in your spirit is where it all starts. So thank God for that. And so nobody can stop you. Tell where you can't pray. You can pray anywhere. You can call him at sunrise. You can call him at sunset. You can call him on your job. You can call him on laying on your bed. You can call him in your car. You can call him on the bus, on the train, on the plane, wherever you are. You can get a hold of God. And you know, if you believe, like the scripture says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. He's just looking for someone to call. He said, ask and it shall be given. Seeking you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. He goes on to, went on to say, to everyone that asketh, keep on asking. Asking, you receive. Him that seeketh, findeth. And him that knocketh, he said, it shall be open. So we got to believe God. And when in believing, we'll be about our Father's business, and we'll do what he said. So therefore, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek ye that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. So these gifts operate in the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. So sometimes you could be interceding, just like Jesus said, he that believeth on me, and this is in the 7th chapter of St. John, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And so they went on to say, as John wrote, this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. And he went on to say, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, for Jesus was not yet glorified. But he was prophesying of this grace that should come unto us, that being born again. So he says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. Also, I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with an understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. And so here, right here, like people say, they try to condemn the Apostle Paul and try to condemn tongues. Folks, that most people that try to talk about the Holy Ghost and try to explain the Bible away, you can't talk about what you don't have. That's like a poor person talking about a millionaire. You don't have what they have. You don't know how it is to be a millionaire because you don't have it. And if you have not been born again, you don't know how it is to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost if you don't have it. Trying to try to read this with your carnal mind, you're not going to receive the things of the Spirit of God. Like he says in previous chapters, they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. natural man receive not the things of the Spirit of God, the natural, the unregenerated man. You can't understand spiritual things. That's why Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's just like when we're reading, when we comprehend things, when we're in instruction in a classroom, be it in school, be it in a college, university, or trade school, or Bible class, wherever you are. Oh, I see that you can see, you have understanding. You can't see it. Things of the kingdom of God, if you haven't been born again, is what he's saying. So Apostle Paul, in verse 18, in 1 Corinthians 14, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. And he goes on to substantiate what he's talking about. Yet in the church, he's talking about in the local church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So what he's saying is, I just don't want to edify myself. If I speak in an unknown tongue, in verse 14, my spirit's prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. And so right here, you can edify yourself. Like he said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto man, but unto God. Howbeit, no man understanding him, howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. But this verse 4 in 1 Corinthians 14, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So he that you prophesy, you preach, you're talking plain, you're edifying the church. You speak in an unknown tongue, you're edifying yourself. So the whole purpose of the church, when you come together, is that the body of Christ, the local assembly where you are, may be edified. That's why he said, let all things be done to edify. So you want to be edified. So yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men. And so he goes on to say, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. And that's in Isaiah 28, said, whom shall he give to understand doctrine? them that are weaned from the breast, from milk and drawn from the breast, is in Isaiah, the 28th chapter. And this is, he is talking about the Holy Ghost. And he is talking about the those people in the house of Israel that would not receive it. So in Isaiah 28 and 9, whom shall he teach knowledge? It's a question. Whom shall he make to understand doctrine or teaching? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. And he goes on, verse 10, Isaiah 28, precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak unto this people. This is a quote. To whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Verse 13, but the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. And he goes on to say, wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is at Jerusalem. So that's a whole nother subject there. That is the quote that the Apostle Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians 14 chapter, because here he says, yet for all of this, and the Lord is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. So he goes on to say, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but unto them that believe not, but prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Talking about preaching. And so a lot of times people want to say, what is the word? Is there a word from the Lord? This is what was being said in the church in Revelation, the first three chapters, all of those churches that he wrote to. And the message was, and the message is, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. And this, it's not a great revelation, but what God is saying to the church, it's already written. I mean, I done heard enough lies, and that's why I'm so adamant about trying to crush it. I don't care who said it. I don't care what your title is. You're not Jesus, so you're not going to fool me. And that's, I mean, we got to have an attitude. We only got one soul. Like Jesus said, the blind lead the blind, both are falling to the ditch. And he wasn't talking about no ditch on the side of the road. He's talking about hell. He is talking about the lake of fire, because people are being hustled and pimped, and they're being deceived by false prophets. People are being deceived by false teachers. You got to take a hold. You got to believe God. Ain't nobody going to hustle me or pimp me. We everything we try to liken to, you got to sow a seed. That's these soul hustlers, these ecclesiastical pimps that you see on TV. Women and men are hustling and pimping people and sow a seed. $1,000 and all that. No, you ain't got to do that. God desires the tithe and a free will offering. It's up to you, whatever else you give. You can't let nobody con you into that. I've seen it. I've seen too much of it. Pay $60. Everybody who gives $60, their bills will be paid for 3 years. Your bills will be paid if you pay them. I mean, people come up with all kinds of foolishness, and it's about time somebody to stand up against that garbage. That's why what's turning people away from church now as it is, because of these lying prophets, lying to people, trying to hustle you out of your money. And some folks can preach the hair standing up on your head and the back of your neck and wherever else, on your arms, and they always got to turn around and ask for another offering. So they turn in the grace of God into lasciviousness. They supposing that gain is godliness. Just like Paul told Timothy when he wrote, he said, from such, turn away. So we got to be careful. And so people, they're trying to, it's amazing. One thing that they're making plain, they ain't talking in tongues or speaking with tongues when it comes to that, and that is your money. They're making it plain. Everybody that got a $20 bill, or everybody that got a $100 bill. No, you're just hustling people out of their money, and I'm standing up against it. And I'm making it plain. You're not going to make a fool out of me. You're not going to hustle me. Now, that's not saying that people shouldn't give. Some folks give to the Red Cross. That's up to us, to our charitable, our giving, be it to the Cancer Foundation, whatever. That is totally up to us what we can give. Folks, whatever charities we desire to do, we desire to freely give. We are at liberty to do that. Not nobody browbeating and hustling us and yeah, all the $50 folks stand up, all the ones with $100, receive it out of my hand, all this foolishness, I done seen it, and I'm speaking out against it. And I don't care, I'm not afraid, because folks are hustling you out of your money. Ain't no Pentecostal offering. Ain't no Christmas offering. Ain't no Thanksgiving Day offering. Thanksgiving ought to be every day. Ain't no Easter offering. Ain't no resurrection offering. Ain't no 4th of July offering. Or no Labor Day offering. Or no Easter offering. No resurrection offering. No kind of offering. But an offering that you desire to give, which is the Bible calls a free will offering, the tithe, which is the tenth, and the free will offering. God is fair. It's up to you. Like the Bible says, as every man has purpose in his heart, so let him give. So I marvel. All these people, they ain't trying to prophesy. They ain't trying to speak it in an unknown tongue when it comes to money. They're making it plain that they want your money. Isn't that something? So we see here, so he tells us, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. So anyway, so I read this scripture, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together, into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will not they say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the hearts, are the secrets of the heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, will he worship God, and report that God is in you of a truth. And so go back and read that again. But if all prophesy, there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. So everybody should have a message. Everybody, and that is the message of the cross, is the message that we should have of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the burial, of the resurrection, of the ascension, of the Holy Ghost that came back, that he sent back at Pentecost, and he saved us when the day that he brought us in, and he's going to come back again. So this is our hope, what we're looking for. When he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. We're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That in a moment, what he's talking about, you can't even bat your eye that fast. And even the technology that the Lord has given men, knowledge, because there's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. The Bible said, behold, the wisdom of the Lord, is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But now knowledge is a totally another thing. God gives knowledge. God has given knowledge. And one thing that I've been pondering on, and that is one thing that you cannot deny, people that know about technology, and that is instant messaging. That just substantiates God's word in a moment. And instant message means just what it is. It's instant. You send somebody a message, they got it instantly. We're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in an instant. So fast. So, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren? This is the question. When you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by chorus, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Let him speak to himself and to God. Then he goes on, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the others judge. So that's the same thing even with us, even with preachers. Prophets preach, prophets prophesy. We judge ourselves, we judge other preachers by the word of God. And when a preacher is preaching God's word, a preacher is in the book, we say he is coming with the book. He is preaching God's word. He is breaking up the book when he is in the word of God. And that's what we know he's in the word. He's not talking off the top of his head, but he's in the book. And he's given knowledge. He's given wisdom. He's breaking up the book. He's doing it with right division. That is so important to be able to do that. So that is when you have the truth. That's why we say that the Bible is truth when it's rightly divided. And that's why the scripture, 2 Timothy 2:15, Apostle Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that is not rightly dividing the word of truth, trying to hustle people out of their money, talking about a Pentecostal offering. Just begging people. Pentecost means 50th, so I want $50 offering. Well, you just ain't going to get one. And that's the kind of attitude we got to have. No, you're not going to hustle me. You're not going to use God's word to hustle me out of my money and begging for people's money and plaguing people and running guilt trips on people. And like I said, Our fight is on the inside, because truth is falling to the streets. Truth is falling to the ground, because people, the Bible said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So you got to fight. That's why Apostle Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. So if you're really saying what the Bible say, then what another hustler or another schemer out in the world, another thief, another person like that in the world hates is one like him. Because when you know somebody else's game, they can't run game on you. And that's what people don't like. So if you, every preacher would know what the Word of God say, every child of God know what the Word of God say, you're not going to hustle me. Don't come to me telling me, give, like somebody said, give to him that asks. And, so, and then the other person fire back and say, oh, no man, nothing. So you can't hustle me. That's up to me to give if I desire to. And, that, and that's not talking about having a need, somebody hungry or whatever. Yeah, most folks, we don't mind. Go buy you something to eat. On the other hand, you got folks, they're asking for money. They don't want money to get something to eat. They want money to get some more whiskey, some more wine, another hit, a crack or whatever. But you got to be truthful. You got to speak the truth, not trying to hustle people. So you can't run game. When you know what the Word of God says, can nobody pull the wool over your eyes? Can nobody make a, as the old people used to say, make a monkey out of you? Not in God's word. If you know what his word says. So I made up my mind. I'm not going to be hustled or pimp no more. I done got taken a few times. You got to wake up and realize who you are. And then not only that, and then I'm not scared to say, you got me, you ain't going to get me again. And you know who you are. So we got to be wise. So that little bit of change, that $60, lie that we all heard. Everybody that pays $60, bills be paid for 3 years. I mean, if it ain't one lie, it's another. So then what you got to really think about, okay, that's what lie you told for that service. What lie are you going to tell the next service you have to hustle money out of people? And then this is what these people say, talking about sowing, and trying to call people curse. So you got to be wise and know what the Word of God says. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of saints. And so we have to realize that God is not the author of confusion. So there's some things that we saw in our saved life. And like I say, there's nothing wrong with speaking with tongues. Some people, you speak to them, they'll go hallelujah, go off in tongues. I mean, that's fine. But it's not fine if you're up in that pulpit and you're supposed to be preaching. You're supposed to be foretelling. You're supposed to be breaking up the book. You're supposed to be giving explanation of the book. You're supposed to be teaching. You're not supposed to be speaking in tongues. You're supposed to be giving understanding, not up there edifying yourself. And that's what some people have done. And so when you really understand what the order of God is in the local church, then you won't allow these things to go on. This is not, we're not on the emotional kick. And we're not saying, like during the worship service, when we say hallelujah, we say praise the Lord, we sing the songs of Zion, when we're giving God the glory, we kicking up our heels, when we shout hallelujah, because you shout with your voice, you dance with your feet. That's all fine and good when you're in the worship service, when you're in the praise service, when you're singing the songs of Zion. You have liberty to bless God, to praise God, to speak with tongues, even in the prayer meeting. You can do that. But there's an order in the worship service, and God is a God of order, and so that you don't want to disturb the service. Now, there are sounds of babies crying and all that. And there's babies in the church naturally, babies that are being born. That's a good sound, really. And even in the church, you have the baby saints. And we don't never know what people are going through, but that's why we want to teach people the order of God. Teach them, just like Jesus said, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a God of order. That's what we don't want to do, or what you should not want to do when you know better, and that is to be out of order. There are people going around talking about people being out of order, and they're out of order themselves. So you got to be in order. You're talking about order. The order ain't just for you to rebuke other folks if you're a leader, but the order is for everybody, because we got to realize that Christ is the head. So he didn't give his life for other folks to just have a flowery bed of ease and to judge one another and all of that. No, the word of God is the judge. There's too many people, they're saying ain't no big eyes or little U's, but they have made themselves important. Some people are more important than the Lord, or equally as important as the Lord in the eyes of the people, so they think in their own mind, I'm important. Folk, and I mean, some of these people you would think they were a king. No, he made us all kings and priests. So if you really want to look at how God should be worshipped, that the spirit that this awesome God that we serve should be reverenced and as the way that he should, then we should be giving God the glory. And I'm not just talking about others. I'm talking about the pastor of the assembly or the leaders. They should be magnifying God. They should be exalting God. The message of the hour should be the Lord Jesus Christ, not how important they are, and they're not apologizing how good they live in, and they got bodyguards all around them. No, that's not it at all. But the message should be about Jesus, because none of us are better than the rest of us, maybe worse. So too many people are exalting themselves and carrying themselves around like they're so important, that you're not important. Like I said, too many times folks trying to act like they're so important and they're dirty. And that's saying we all are. We're not glorified. We have our struggles, and people use little terminology, and I like to dissect it all to pieces. And sometimes people be saying, yeah, other people are dealing with some stuff. That's all right, you dealing with some stuff, like as long as you ain't yielded. like that song says, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Like 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, there have no temptation taken you, but such is as common to man. But God is faithful, the scripture says, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Temptation in itself is not a sin. Where the sin comes in is when you yield to temptation. Where the sin is, and like I said, that's my sincere prayer. That ought to be all of our sincere prayers. Lord, show us our spiritual leaders. More importantly, show us the hypocrites that are the hypocritical spiritual leaders, the lying, double standard, double life leaders. Show us the leaders that are fornicators. Show us the leaders that are adulterers and trying to hide it. Because you can only hide for so long. You can shut people up and try to control people. You ain't going to shut everybody up. Just like they say, and I understand that. You can fool some of the people all of the time, and those are the ones you concentrate on. But I pray, Lord, pull the cover off. Shine the light from heaven on us, like that scripture says. Want to be right. Anybody in your right mind, you don't want to miss the rapture. You don't want to miss the time change, the church, when it's changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, when the church is translated out of here, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And if you got a if you got a spouse, that is, if you have a husband and another boyfriend on the side, and you a sister, you in trouble. And you call yourself a saint of God or a child of God. And if you're a man, and you got a wife, and you got a girlfriend on the side, you're crazy, because you're a hypocrite. You think you're going somewhere, you're not going nowhere. You hiding sin. You're what the Bible calls, in 1 Corinthians 5 and 13, Apostle Paul said, put away from yourselves that wicked person. So if you're dirty, you're hypocriting around, covering up, that ain't dealing with some stuff. You're in sin. Yeah, and if you're in sin, you need to come out and get yourself right. Because you ain't going nowhere. You'd be like the five foolish virgins. You're not going nowhere. Like I said, we can hustle people. We can fool people. Act like we all of that. And if you messed up, get yourself right. If you messed up, come clean. You're supposed to understand the order of God. Confess and forsake. Then you'll have mercy. But too many people are trying to cover up stuff. I got news for you. You're not going nowhere. God is not coming down to my level or no other man or woman's level, no other child of God's level, no other human being level. But we got to come up to God's level. Like the scripture says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. God does not care nothing about nobody's title. If you're stained with sin, you need to get yourself right. No remission of sin is for the sinner. If you're a child of God and you done fell in sin, then you need to confess and forsake and do that. And you got to do it to leadership. You cannot confess in your secret closet. You got to be restored back to God if you're in sin. So thank God for His Word. And so he says that God's not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So here is one of the misunderstood scriptures in the Bible right here, when Apostle Paul says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. So you got to understand what is going on. During that time, they were divided. They didn't sit together, and there were partitions or walls in between them. And there would be, what I'm told is, yelling over the walls at their husbands. That's why he was saying, let them keep silent in the church. So in other words, you can ask your husband at home. So the Bible is not saying two or three different things, but there's nothing like getting an understanding, nothing like right division in the church, because there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So what am I saying? Here's what I'm saying right here. 1 Timothy, the second chapter, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. Now notice what he said, the woman, not women. He said, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. What is he talking about? He's talking about in the home, that the woman shouldn't usurp authority over the man. That's not saying that she can't say nothing. Some people give the disciplinary job over to their wives. That's up to them. Some people tell you, my mother was the disciplinarian in our house. She was the one that spanked us. And I mean, that's biblical, a spanking, or the Bible calls it chastisement. The Bible says, beat him, you beat him with the rod, he won't die. The Bible says, chasing them beat times, you save their soul from hell. So let not your soul spare for his crying. So chastisement is right. And I'm a witness of that, my generation. And I'm a 50s baby, born in the 50s, in the early 50s. I'm a product of that. We got tore up. And I mean, the Bible is right. You ain't no talk to them and time out and all this foolishness like they're doing. I know one of my daughter-in-laws had that kind of philosophy until my grandson hit her with something. Then she believed. Oh, he need to go to church. He need to do this. Yeah, the Bible is right. We got to do what God says. Nobody's going to escape. We need to do what he says. So there's nothing like getting an understanding. And then not only that, when he was saying here about the women, let them ask their husbands at home, everybody, every sister in the church is not married. So you got to understand what he was talking about. During that time, how they were sitting in the church and what they were doing was a partition between the brothers and the sisters, or more importantly, to be true to the scripture, between the husbands and the wives, and they were hollering over the wall or over the partition, and he was saying it was a shame for them to speak in church, but let them ask their husbands, let them keep silence in the church, they can ask their husbands at home. So he goes on to say here, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church, because of what they, that they were, in the manner in which they were doing it. And so he goes on, he has a one-word question. What? Came the word of God out of you, out from you, or came it under you only? That's three questions in one. What? Came the word of God out from you? Question. Or came it under you only? Question. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And then he goes on to say, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. And he goes on, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. So understand what he's saying. He's not telling you to be out of order, because this, the last scripture says, let all things be done decently and in order. And there's some folks, they think they know so much, and the way they say, yeah, let all things be done decently, let all things be done, be found decently and in order. No, they're done decently. Let all things be done. Or he said, be in decency and in order. No, he didn't say that. He said, be done decently and in order. So God is a, always have been, a God of order. So you got to be in order. You don't want to be out of order. And see, so the verse 38 in 1 Corinthians 14 and 38, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. And there's too many people are ignorant of God's word. They're ignorant of right division of God's word. Too many people in church don't understand right division. They just quote stuff and they don't know what they're talking about. That's why people are getting hustled out of their money and lied to. But you got to know what God's word say. Nobody can fool you or hustle you or pimp you, because there's folks out there that are doing that. God is not the author of confusion. So that, like he says in verse 33, but of peace as in all churches of the saints. So God doesn't want people to be confused. God wants you to have understanding. Notice what he said. God is, there may be folks that are confused, but God's not the author of confusion. That's why the Bible says, wherefore lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing he's not the author of confusion, but he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And the just shall live by faith. And more importantly, in the book of Habakkuk, he said, the prophet says, that the just shall live by his faith. So this is why the writer, Apostle Paul, in the book of Romans, he says, if any man have faith, let him have it to himself and to God. So even things that you may rightfully have that God put in your spirit, you can't tell everything that God has given you, maybe given you an idea or something of the sort. I'm not talking about a revelation. There's no private, no scripture of the Bible as any of any private interpretation. Peter says that. But the scripture was not given in the old men in old time prophecy, but it was given to holy men that were moved by the Holy Ghost. So there's no private interpretation of the scripture. So scripture will support scripture, and all God's people should have right vision of the word and understand the word. And this is what he was talking about when he in the 13th chapter of Matthew, when he was talking about the parables. So there's no secret. You get in there. We were told this as we were young saints of God, that we can get in there. We can, that is, get in the word of God and know God for ourselves. So what was he saying? What he was telling us, you can know God in prayer. You can know God. And when you pray to God, you're talking to him. When you get in God's word and read God's word, God is talking to you. You can get in that word and search that word out. And there's too many times that things that people are saying that the Bible is saying, and they got it wrong because they're not rightly dividing the word of God. So we don't have to be fooled. We can walk with God. Like somebody said, you walk with God, God will fly with you. We can have understanding. We don't have to be afraid of the scriptures. And knowing that you cannot get a spiritual gift, what he's talking about here in 1 Corinthians 14 chapter, unless you have the giver of the gift. And that is, you have to have the Holy Ghost. That is the giver of the gift. You cannot have a spiritual gift without first having the Holy Ghost, or without first, we say, did he get, when somebody's praying for the Holy Ghost, did they get it? No, you don't get it. You get victory. You receive the Holy Ghost. That's why the Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that's why in Acts 2 and 38, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached his first message, and all that he said, and so the message was, repent and be baptized, every one of you, all of them ones that were under the sound of his voice, in the name of Jesus Christ, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's important. And he went on to say, for the promises unto you, talking to the Jews, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So this is what Apostle Paul was saying when he appeared unto, the Lord appeared unto him. He was saying he's going to send him far hence unto the Gentiles. He's sending them to Israel and to the Gentiles. So he let him know he's going to show him how great things that he must suffer for his name's sake. And so his church, which he is the head of, and the church is his body. So that's important. So we want to be, you want to be in the church. And so you got to be under authority to be in authority, because you got to be in the church, like we said. God set up the solitary in families. Ain't a man out there on an island by himself. He brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. So you want to be in the will of God and to do what he says, and hopefully that you got understanding out of the word that we talked about on today. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.